It is that time of the week. One of the best parts about the Titan season is that we get to talk to TD every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Let's welcome in TD to the program now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teron, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, I'm interested for your thoughts on the running game. We've talked about that a lot this week. They are dead last in the NFL at 78.9 yards rushing per game. If not for Ward the other day against the Texans, and albeit I realize the Texans are a really good defense, but it's been a problem all year long. They just can't run the ball. How surprised are you by that, given the investment in their offensive line? I know it looks like Pollard has taken a clear step back this year. What do you make of how the Titans running game has gotten to this point where it's as bad as it's been so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's dead last in the league, you know, as you mentioned. And I mean, I had a story post this morning about the rushing attack, and it's just crazy how far it's fallen since Derrick Henry has been gone. And I mean, naturally, you lose one of the best running backs in the game, it's going to fall. But I mean, we're talking about going from consistently in the top five rushing attacks to all of a sudden being dead last. And you look at, there's so many things that add up to it, and getting behind schedule with the false start, you know, a lineman slipping or a receiver not going and getting a linebacker or a safety. Like, there's so many things that keep it from happening. And they just got to find a way to get it going early, and that's the big thing.
So, TD, I wanted to get your big picture assessment of, you know, the Simmons comments after the game, the Latham false starts, the Key and Ward, the other Ward, talking about young guys, you know, things like that. But obviously, a lot of things, I guess, point to Latham. I know Jeff then talked yesterday about, you know, like he thinks it's going well. They're having their own conversations as well. First of all, I mean, did you look at this as largely about Latham and Sweat more than that? And do you think that, I guess, that the message is getting through if that's the case?
Yeah, I think Latham is definitely one of the guys that they're talking about. And it's okay, because, like I said yesterday on Next Man Up, is like, to he much is given, much is desired. Latham is a very talented young man, and these guys know that, so they want more out of him, naturally, you know, so it's understandable. But then you also, you look at some of the other situations, you know, whether it's Tavondre Sweat or another young guy. Look, they just want the most out of these talented players, and they want to win, you know, bottom line. And, I mean, when you go 1-9, you have all the losing that this organization has had over the last, you know, year. Plus, it's going to be frustrating. So it's natural. I think guys are starting to take it. You look at Kevin Winston. Like, he's a really good example. You know, when I talked to Quandre Diggs after he had asked for his release, you know, he told me how Winston is going to be a good one, and how he's a real one, and how he, you know, was really open to the things that he had, you know, the gems that he had to pass down to him. So I think it is getting soaked in, but, I mean, it could soak in as much as you want. But if you don't have enough players to win, you're not going to win, and that's where they are.
TD, I'm going to ask you a somewhat ridiculous question, but, I mean, par for the course. That's what I do. So I was talking with PK about this yesterday, and I realize in real life you cannot do this. But if you were Mike Borgonzi, and you could guarantee that you could fix one thing this offseason, like, you're looking at all these different positions of needs that they've got, which is a ton, as you know, and you were guaranteed one that would come in and you fix it, what is it? Is it wide receiver? Is it edge rusher? Is it something else? Where do you think that starts for Borgonzi this offseason?
That's a very good question, because you're like, okay, well, if they get a pass rusher, the defense would be that much better. Then, like, if they get a receiver, they'll score points. I'm going to go, they would get a playmaking receiver, an A.J. Brown, that type, right? And the reason why I'm going to go there is because this team is averaging 14 points a game.
Ugh.
14. So, to me, it's just completely uncomplimentary football. But there's two phases that I think are satisfactory, right? And I think if you get the offense up, now that's going to make everything else better. So give me the receiver. Go ahead and get Carnell Tate out of Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying.
He's pretty good.
He is.
Ohio State receivers, for the most part,
do pretty well.
For the most part, yeah, you're gonna end up being happy. All right, so got to ask you about Cam Ward, but let me ask you this, TD. We were talking earlier about, you know, look, I mean, there's people who are like, he is a total bust. He's you know, no chance. And there's people who, oh, there's no question he's going to be great. I kind of tune out both sides. I don't know how anybody can pretend to know. But one thing that bothers me is, like, people who, and this is an NFL thing, and I think a lot of the NFL media at large probably watches as little Titans as any team, and I don't blame them, by the way. But people who are judging Cam Ward purely on, like, the metrics, the underlying numbers, along with, you know, the traditional stats, I just have a problem with that. When you, obviously for you, you're covering a team, you watch every play. I don't think there's anything that can replace that. But what do you value when it comes to other, like, what you look at, you know, to match up with your eyes on, like, a quarterback in this league?
What or who?
Yeah, what do you value? I'm statistically speaking, you know what I mean? Because, again, some people out there who are just – they're throwing everything. And, again, I like, though. I mean, I think there's value in a lot of these things. But I guess beyond traditional stats, what do you value in that world?
Yeah, so if you're looking at numbers and beyond just the standard passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions, to me, one of the things that I look at is completion percentage as well as average per completion. You know, that's something. I look at third downs. I look at red zone. And I just look at those things because those are really the measurables you look at and you hone in on when you're looking at any quarterback. So it's like third down and red zone. Okay, how is he in the clutch? You know, what are some of the things that he's done in those situations? Okay, how frequently is he completing passes? And are they just check downs? So are they, you know, 9 to 10 yards per attempt, like that kind of situation? So that's what I look at. But ideally, it's not a number that you're focusing on, right? You're looking at how is he operating the offense. You're looking at, like, what is he doing down to down? How is he under pressure? Those types of things. And you really could only tell that, like, when you're watching the game and getting a feel for how he has everything flowing.
So another stat, and Robbie brought this up, and I did not realize it was on this pace. It's crazy to me. But apparently, you know, Cam Ward on pace to be sacked 70 times, which is just an awful number. So that number with him, how much, and I'm not looking for like exact number of this many are on him, but he does drift and things like that. Like, how much of the sack issues are you putting on him right now?
I mean, look, I think there's a good amount of them. And there was improvement last week. Like, even though he got sacked, what, 3 times, I think it was?
Yeah.
Maybe 4?
That was 4, yeah, 4.
He did an awesome job. Let me not say that. He did a good job, a solid job, getting the ball out a little bit quicker, right? And then you could tell it in the numbers, right? 2.9 is his regular average seconds, you know, snap to throw. He was at 2.6. Now, obviously, a lot of it was game plan, but, you know, and knowing that you got those guys coming off the edge, so you want to get the ball out quicker. So I think that's something that he's working to do better, but that's been a big thing. And you hit the nail on the head, right, when you talked about being in the pocket, right, the pocket awareness. You don't have to flee an empty pocket. You know what I mean? Like, it's calm. Don't flee it. Like, move within it to find your passing lanes. But he's done that times where he ran into sacks. And then you just got, you know, just sitting in there and getting sacked and not getting the ball out. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that go into the sacks that he's caused. And I think he does have a good fair share of those and the guilt in that.
So, TD, I mean, look, you mentioned the Titans' record is what it is. They've actually gotten some better defensive performances than I thought possible at times with the roster that they've thrown out there so far this year. But every now and then you run across a game on the schedule like we did a few weeks ago with the Colts where it looks real bad heading into it. And there's another one coming up this week in Seattle who is not perfect, but they got a really darn good defense, as you know. And, you know, they're a good football team, a contender in the NFC. It's a 2-touchdown favorite on the road. So what do you make of this? How do the Titans hang in there in this one on Sunday against a very good Seattle team.
Yeah, man. And look, judging from this weather, they brought the rain with them too. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think the main thing is going back to running the football, right? And it's going to be tough because 78 yards a game going against a team that's, what, sixth? Yeah, sixth, allowing like 95 yards a game. So you got to run the ball. And I think by doing that, that calms everything down. Look at what Cam Ward told me on Wednesday when I asked him about, you know, the rushing attack helping a young quarterback. You know, he said it allows you to establish physicality. It allows you to, you know, work play action. And he's right. You know, when you work the play action, the passing lanes open, et cetera. So it's a long-winded answer in regards to what they have to do, which is run the football, and that's really going to settle the offense.
Is it time to seriously give Spears more work and get just give him more carries and see what he can do?
I would look at doing that. I talked to Tony Pollard yesterday, and, he said there is room to be a little more dedicated to the run, so maybe give both of them more carries. But it's just so hard to when you like it's first and 10, and you get a false start. It's first and 15. You know you're not calling a run play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then even you look at the average per carry, both of those guys are under 4 yards. So it's not like, you know, you got one guy at you know, close to 5 and another one at 3.9. And it's like, hey, you know, give him the ball more. I think they just got to get more first downs and just be more efficient. And then both of those guys could get more touches.
TD, last thing I'll say is I hope, you know, I don't have any expectation that this thing is going to go well on Sunday. I hope we're not again after this game talking about a decision, you know, in like the 25-yard line of the opposition to either kick a field goal on 4th and 1 or punt.
If so, you may have to put Karski in a straight jacket.
Yeah, you might have to just go ahead and get him out of there.
Yeah, man. He looks like he's going to blow a gasket. You know, that
even more than normal.
He and McCoy, like, it's funny banter. You know, I had to chime in on it this time.
Oh, you did, yes.
Like, you know, it's I don't want to say it's frustrating, but it is frustrating. It's not frustrating because I'm a fan. It's frustrating because, like, yo, what are you doing?
What does he have to lose, like, you know?
Like, exactly. You got nothing to lose. It's like the animal that's backed into a corner. That's the most it's supposed to be the most dangerous one because he's going to do whatever he got to do to live. They don't have much more lives to live. Like, you're 1-9.
It's I can see amazing. That maybe you and PK both might need to take a time out, huh?
No, it's just heightened. You know, even though I'm from a much more highly populated city, being here, the traffic still irks me. So, I'm like Michael Douglas right now, falling down.
Remember? Oh, don't do that.
Oh, boy. Well, this season, I think, is doing it to all of us. Exactly. I think it is. TD, yeah. Great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and enjoy yourself this weekend.
I appreciate it, man. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD does a great job covering the Titans for ESPN. We will react to what TD had to say coming up next. We've got Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. It's Phil Collins or Paul Kuharski bringing us back in.
That's from No Jacket Required, 1985.
Wow, look at you.
Bangers all up and down that album.
Look at you. I got some tickets to give away. See the Preds take on the Colorado Avalanche at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. By the way, Colorado won again last night, which means they're still with one regulation loss heading into this one. Caller number 6. Caller 6 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Avs tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena.
Real quick music point before we get to it. I guess I can make fun of Nick since he's on the phone. He's not listening. He said it was just like TD said he saw the Drizzler last night. By the way, the intro music for TD is the Jizza, the Genius, yeah. Liquid Swords, one of the all-time great.
The Riddler.
Wu-Tang Adam. But TD saw the Jizza last night at Skydeck. That is awesome.
Hey,
I'm
in
jealous.
My defense,
I am jealous.
Could not really hear him that well on the phone lines. It just heads up.
But just for your future reference, his intro music is the Jizza. There we go. Some good music talk. I mean, I'm trying to turn this show into a music show.
How do you know? What if he did see the Drizzler?
Who is the Drizzler?
I don't know. But I'm sure there's somebody out there that goes by that.
Sloppy, whatever. No,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Joe, I guess for the first time this week, we should maybe talk about the game. They do play on Sunday.
Sure. Seattle's well, good.
I said it.
Sam Darnold.
Well, I remember a few weeks ago they played the Colts, and it was like everybody was looking at it and was like, well, they're just going to get absolutely killed by the Colts. And then they did. They did get destroyed by the Colts. And I'm kind of looking at this one the same way. Like, you know, I don't know. I think some of the conversation on Seattle has gone a little bit overboard. Like, there's still, to me, a lot for Darnold to prove once crunch time and playoff time comes around. But there's no doubt that they're very good. Their defense in particular is very good. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I mean, with what the Titans are throwing out there at corner right now, like, he would terrify me if I'm the Titans heading into this game based on what he's doing. So I don't know that I can even really see a route here where the Titans actually win the game, which is crazy to say in an NFL game. But I'm just wondering, like, can they hang in this one? Because Seattle's coming off. I mean, Darnold threw four picks last week. They still almost won, by the way, against the Rams. And it's just – it feels like a horrible matchup to me heading into this one.
Yeah, it would take – Seattle just having a complete letdown slash meltdown after losing a heart-breaking game to the Rams where Darnold threw four picks and still they were in position. They lined up for a long winning field goal that missed. So some huge hangover from that and from traveling east and just assuming that you're going to put your helmet out there and blow out the Titans. I mean, it does happen in the NFL. And in this league, if you take that mindset, most weeks you're going to pay for it. If there was ever a time when you could do that and get away with it, probably against the Titans or maybe the Jets. But it's hard. I'm with you. I mean, I think Seattle will probably handle this. It's a really good team, like a really good defensive team. And, you know, Darnold, a lot to prove. I mean, I heard Charles talking with you guys yesterday. I agree. It's like this is just a big referendum on him, I think, this postseason. Not great that you have this huge game and he throws four picks.
Yep.
He feasts on the lesser of the league. There is no doubt about that. So this would be a great get-right game for him, as that's the way things have been going for him.
Smith-Njigba has 72 catches for 1,146 yards, 5 touchdowns, 15-9 a catch in 10 games so far. It's just absurd. It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah. No, it's...
So get out there, Titans. Go cover him. There we go.
You see, Seattle's a great example of, I mean, think about it. How long ago was that? Was it 3 years ago? Or was it just 2 years ago where Russ goes to Denver? Was it two or three?
I think it was three. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's in my mind, I was like, was that just 2 years ago that we're like, oh my God, Seattle, they're going to suck forever, yeah. You know? And you go boom, boom. And of course, this does bring up the Darnold thing, right?
Bless you.
Thank you.
I have an allergic reaction talking about the Titans too. Yes.
Yeah. Or the Darnold. Maybe it's just talking about Darnold. I mean, some Titans fans want him. I was in favor, by the way. I was on Team Stelly on that one. I think Gentry was on the team too. I don't remember if you were or not.
No.
But to me, it was like I'd rather go with a guy like that who played well enough last year that you could, you know, you could win with that guy with some improvements. Now, you know, how long are you winning? I know that Karski did some reporting on this. I think Nick Suss did some reporting on this, on sort of the conversations. And basically, I get the idea of like, so you're going to be still a losing team with him. So then at what point are you good enough to actually win with him at quarterback? And,
right.
You know, I get that. But, yeah, it just comes down to conviction on Cam Ward. So if they end up being right about Cam Ward, which is still possible, fine. But I'd say right now, the early returns aren't great on either front.
Let's welcome in Ed to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing good, buddy.
Great.
So if I don't get a chance to talk to you next week, happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Same
and
to you.
Joe, I wish you a gout-free Black Friday weekend. So hoping things don't go...
Big week next week.
For you.
Turkey's all clear, baby. All the turkey I want.
Yeah, it's the other stuff I worry about, right?
Yeah.
Two things on Ward. Like, watching that game last night, look, I got a better – I mean, 95 yards, Ward goes down the field with with Van Jefferson and Mason Kinsey. I mean, you could throw the stats out the window to me, and I'm not a cam buddy. I mean, whatever they're called. I'm trying to be realistic. But watching what that team did to Josh Allen and then putting into perspective on what Ward, you know, he didn't have a dominant game, but to go 95 yards against that defense, those are the moments you want to see that give you hope. And I want to just call out Zach Lyons. I don't know if you saw his tweet about there's a narrative going around that Latham had all kinds of chip help. But of the 43 pass plays that they had, he had 13 chip, you know, they were helping him 13 times and 10 times for the man door. I mean, 30 times without help and you're giving up zero pressures and zero sacks. I get the false starts, but I think that's what you want to see, right? So I'm trying to hold on to any strand I can in a miserable season.
I'm with you.
I thought that was positive.
No, I agree. Totally agree.
Pump that sunshine, Ed.
Probably need to. I guess my first reaction when I hear that is you may need to help the man door a little more. get that door lodge. Put it under there.
Can you give the man door a screen?
Can you get the door stopper? Let's see if we can remove that. Get that thing some free flowing ability.
You got a deadbolt going here a little bit.
Yeah. It's funny. The whole Latham is a great example of like some people. Oh, he was good. I thought he played pretty well. Again, I'll go with just like watching him play. I thought he played pretty well. But yeah, like three false starts in a hole.
I'll tell you one thing I want to see this
still
weekend.
Make it hard to get excited.
I want to see zero false starts from J.C. Latham this weekend. That would be nice.
So if he has zero false starts, gives up three sacks.
I'll take the zero false starts.
Okay.
Give me zero.
Okay.
False starts.
Yeah, that's a fair thing to ask.
I'd like to see zero false. I would take zero false starts and give up one sack. Sign me up. I'll take it.
Like there's zero reason to have any false starts playing at home.
Correct.
Yeah, in the NFL.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get more of your thoughts coming up. Next, it is Pigskin Pick'em. So we will get your thoughts in the final segment of the show on the Titans and the Seahawks. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on the program. We are creeping, and I emphasize creeping, up into the interesting part of this competition. You know, it's a long slog throughout the football season, as Titans fans are well aware of. But we're getting into, you know, mid to late November, Thanksgiving right around the corner. We're getting into crunch time in the competition here.
Yeah, I guess. I suck.
A standings update in the competition. Not a great week for us last week. Ian pulled out a decent week. 3-3, no lock. You and I were both 1-5. Not good. I got my lock with Western Kentucky. You did not get your lock, which brings the overall standings.
Lock?
I don't remember. I've already deleted
freaking
it.
Freaking South Florida. Great job. They didn't even win the game. They suck.
I am 38-34, 5-7 on my locks, 43 points. Ian Safar, 37-35 overall, 5-7 on his locks, 42 points, 1 point back. Rex Road, 30-42, 7-5 on his locks, 37 points. Still within striking distance.
Which is just should be depressing for you two.
With that in mind, we begin with Kentucky and Vanderbilt in the final home game, we think, for Diego Pavia. Vanderbilt is an 8.5-point favorite in this matchup. Joe, I think this is going to be an interesting game for the majority of it, and I think a late score will pull Vanderbilt away into the double digits, and they will win, and they will cover minus the 8.5. I think you're going to be probably looking around in the third quarter, and it's like, well, I mean, Kentucky, touchdown down. They could really get back in this thing. I think a late score propels Vandy to cover in this game. Nick Frazier is in for Ian today. Ian Safar has sent his picks in. So, Ian, who's really Nick, what did Ian select here?
Ian went with Kentucky plus 8.5. Ooh. He's in the same boat as Big Joe. He's not too confident on Vandy to get the job done, but you know, it could happen. Possible trap game.
Kentucky plus the 8.5. Joe Rexroad, who we got in this one?
Well, I talked to Mark Stoops yesterday, and he guaranteed victory. No, he did not. But I will say he's done a pretty remarkable job. When they were 2-5, everybody wanted him fired. Now they've shifted their anger to Mark Pope away from Mark Stoops. I think Kentucky is going to be right there to win this game. They are playing good football. They're motivated just to get to a bowl game at this point, which would be a hell of a save. I think Vanderbilt is going to find a way, but it's going to be like a late field goal. So give me Kentucky in those points.
Going Kentucky plus the 8.5. Tennessee and Florida coming up in the Swamp much later in the season than it has been. But a 3-7 Florida team. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Nick Frazier, where has Ian gone in this matchup?
Ian's just gone away from the state of Tennessee in general. He's going with Florida plus 3.5. He's worried about this game as well.
Going with the Gators plus the 3.5. Joe Rexrode, who we got in this one?
I think it's finally time here. I mean, how many times have I said that over the years?
Several since we've done this show.
I know. But I think it is. I think Tennessee, even though, you know, it's been disappointing, the playoffs not on the table anymore. I just think they're going to go down there. If they play the way they've been playing most of the year, I think that they will score enough points to win this game by about 10. Give me the Vols.
I have no problem with that pick you've just made. Heavily rooting for it. And you are free to do that. As a Tennessee fan, it would be completely idiotic for me to pick Tennessee in this game. It really would. Like, even if I believe that they're going to win, which I do, I can't do that. Like, I can't do it. So I'll go Florida plus the 3.5. I'll go Florida to win. Why not?
No lock?
No.
Okay.
I'm holding on to a very specific one for my lock.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
But I'll go Florida plus the 3.5. The Seahawks and the Titans. Seahawks, a 13.5-point favorite on the road. Joe Rexrode, you're up first in this one.
My God, it's the NFL. It's so. You know what? I need to make up some ground. You know what? I think the Titans cover. I think the Titans lose like 28-17. Give me the Titans.
How do you know that Ian and I aren't going to take the Titans?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seahawks. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be real bad on Sunday. I'll go Seahawks minus 13.5. Nick Frazier, who does Ian have in this matchup?
Yeah, same boat, Seahawks. He's thinking this game's going 31-13 for a final score. And make that his lock, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
Locking down.
I got a chance. Man, my Titans and Vols get it done for me this week. I got a chance, baby. Make some ground up. Let's go.
We move to the individual portion of the program. I was saving my lock for this one. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play.
Oh, boy.
The Chicago Bears are a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. I think Rodgers is going to play in a place where he has just totally become, you know, partial owner of Chicago Bears. He does it one more time. Give me the Steelers plus the 2.5 against the Chicago Bears and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the old man to come through one more time against the Chicago Bears. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
Don't hit the guarantee button. I need it. I need my dopamine. There we go. It helps counteract the gout that I got from the Megadeth drink in 1995.
Yep.
Okay. Don't screw me over, Vrabel. Pats at Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase is suspended. The Bengals are plus 6 at home against the Pats. I think New England's going to go in there and handle business and win this game by about 10 points. Do not Vrabel special me this week, Vrabel. New England minus 6.
Well, with the Patriots minus the 6. Ian Safar's first individual selection, read by Nick Frazier.
Doesn't love it, but he's going with Tampa Bay minus 6.5 versus the Rams.
Tampa Bay minus 6.5 against the Rams? Are they favored in that game?
That's what he sent me.
I think that might be.
Unless I read it incorrectly.
Yeah,
I think the
that's the other way around.
Other way around. Okay, excuse me.
So Tampa Bay plus the 6.5.
Yes, thank you.
So he is taking the Bucks though with those points. Okay.
Yeah, on text it said plus or minus 6.5.
Okay, I'm with you.
Should we disqualify him? I think we should disqualify that pick and give him a 0-1 personally.
The second individual selection started by Joe Rexrode.
Okay, Captain Kirk, he's in. And, you know, there's not that much left for the Falcons. It's a tough spot for them with Penix and another ACL. But they're at the Saints. The Saints, who stink, by the way, are minus 2.5. Give me the Falcons to win this game outright and make it my Captain Kirk lock. You like that?
One more time. Maybe the last time you get a chance to do it with Captain Kirk in his career.
That's right.
So why not take a shot there? Nick Frazier, Ian Safar, second individual selection.
He has the Indianapolis Colts plus 3.5 versus Kansas City again. Doesn't love it. Look, if you don't like it, Ian, don't take it. But look, if that's where he wants to go, go with it. So he's got the Colts at plus 3.5 versus Kansas City.
It's a massive game. Colts plus 3.5 on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me Jacksonville minus 2.5 against the Arizona Cardinals. You never really know what Jacksonville's going to do on a week-to-week basis. Looked pretty good last week. I'll go with the Jags minus the 2.5 against the Arizona Cardinals, I believe, on the road. So,
yep,
we'll see how that goes. Ian Safar's final individual selection.
Going a little bounce-back game here. The Detroit Lions minus 10.5 versus the New York Giants. Dan Campbell's got something cooking is what he's thinking.
Going with a big win for the Lions against the New York Giants. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Well, that's a big number for a not very good team. Well, you may have noticed that last week we had four individuals and I went all college football and I lost them all.
Yeah.
So I'm going all NFL and I am, boy, Ian and I are absolutely head to head this week. Colts at Chiefs minus 3.5. Give me the Chiefs at home. They're going to make a little statement to the rest of the league and maybe cast a little doubt on Indy Ben's squad there.
Going with Kansas City minus 3.5 against the Colts at home. I will circle back to college football for my final individual selection. I know that this is a game where they don't really have their starting quarterback. I don't care. Colorado's awful. Give me Arizona State on the road minus 7.5 against Colorado. Colorado not very good. And I know Deion has come out this week and be like, hey, I'm your guy. I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to get it figured out. Don't worry. Not going to get it figured out this week. I'll take Arizona State minus the 7.5 against Colorado.
Nice. Disappointing. A little bit of a deep cut. Yeah.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. Yeah.
It's not a great weekend on the college football front. So
no.
I had to do some work there. We will have your final thoughts on the Titans and the Seahawks. We will get into Vanderbilt and Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida. Any way you want to take it, coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Commodores taking on Kentucky tomorrow at First Bank Stadium. Pregame at 1 o'clock on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Our college football game of the week is Kentucky-Vanderbilt as well. On 102.5 The Game, 94.9 The Fan, brought to you by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky. We are taking your thoughts. Titans in action this weekend. Tennessee down to the swamp, taking on the Gators and the home finale for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Any way you want to take it. Let's welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, good. I just wanted to say, hey, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I just want to say, I want to call the NFL out because I feel like they took advantage of people that subscribe to the NFL game package. Okay, I was going to South America to get dental work done for the last 3 years, and I was able to watch the games in Colombia. And then the second year, you know, during the off season, they take money out of your account. So for like 2 years, they was taking money out of my account. So I went back over there for some more dental work, and I tried to get the games on the TV, and it said I had to subscribe to another streaming service. I'm just like, I've already spent $200 or $300 on this package. I feel like they took advantage of the people that signed up for that package, and it's not fair, and it's not fair that they have these games over in these different countries that the people can't even afford rent. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for the $200 jerseys? Who's paying for the beer? We are. And they're taking advantage of us. That's why I don't watch the NFL. That's why I boycott them. And it's not fair to us. And they're taking advantage of us. And it's not fair. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, bye. Trey. Appreciate it. Hope the dental work is going well.
There's a lot to unpack there. But one thing I would say is who's going to the game, maybe like the dentist who worked on you there might be buying a jersey and going to the game. I don't know. Trey, you need to write a book, and maybe we will have like weekly, like you can read like part of a chapter of your life story.
Top Tier says, the plot thickens as to why Trey listens on the radio. It's gone international. at this point.
It does. It is adding up. See, now we're getting it. Although I don't know. I guess if you're boycotting, is it still boycotting if you're listening to the game? I don't know.
I don't know. It's in the top half of the bottom third of boycotts, I would say.
Hey, two quick points I want to make about the Titans.
Sure.
One is Garcia just tweeted out they've got their topping ceremony.
Blake going to be there?
Not a sloppy topping ceremony, but a steel topping ceremony. That, as Kaharsky points out, this event actually has its own logo, which is quite remarkable.
Good for them.
It's got the big T. It's like Nissan Stadium Steel topping out ceremony.
All right.
And so get excited. Another point being made to me. I mean, we could have talked about this all week. We should have done more to break down Seattle Titans. But
yeah,
Mike McDonald.
Yes.
As a coach, when you think about different possibilities for the Titans, there is an example of a defensive guy.
No doubt.
Who obviously has worked out well.
Yep.
They've got a fun offense. You get a good OC hire, you can do things.
No, I brought that up the other day. He's a really good coach. And, you know, the idea that they've got to hire, and I think that's what when you're watching over the next couple of months here, as the coaching searches in the NFL start to get back into the news cycle and people start to pay attention to that, I think everything you're going to hear from a national perspective is going to be like, well, they're going to go hire some offensive guy for Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I don't know that necessarily is going to happen. And I don't think that has to be the case for the Titans. Let's go hire the right coach.
Yeah.
If it's offensive, great. If not, who cares?
Now, last time it was like that was the belief, and it was pretty clear that was the internal push.
Yeah.
And they did it, and it didn't work out.
And that doesn't
newsflash breaking.
Well, that doesn't mean the next one wouldn't work out if they did the same thing. I'm not saying you can't hire an offensive coach. I just think a lot of the conversation around it is going to be, well, they got to. It's Cam Ward. You got to go hire an offensive coach. And I do not subscribe to that theory.
I subscribe to your not subscribing to
Thank
that
you.
Theory.
I appreciate that.
There's a lot of subscribing going on today.
Do we get a resolution on the Lane Kiffin front today and or this weekend?
I think we do get one today. And there's a lot of smoke about there's a big meeting today. You said it earlier.
Yeah, Keith Carter, their athletic director.
And you know, if you're him, it's
not the former Titans offensive line coach.
That's right. But if you're him, I think it's got to be look, man. I understand this is agonizing, or whatever. But like, just go ahead, pick a path, and we'll move on without you. And we love you, and you know, you leave the staff, and try to like let our players alone in a playoff run, please. Can we have some gentlemen's agreements here? Or all right, let's go full. I hope he stays, but I am drifting toward LSU as a prediction.
How I am too. You? Nope. Yeah. I think that's where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
Which, and if it happens today and or this weekend, will be very fascinating to see how the next couple of weeks go for Ole Miss.
I mean, Frazier's in there just
salivating,
thinking about that egg bowl and the things that could happen. Oh, baby.
Jeff Levy in there. That's right, Lane. You run away. Run away. Yeah, see how it goes.
Those Mississippi State fans want Lane the hell out of there. They're very excited about this possibility.
I hope Vanderbilt fans enjoy Diego Pavia tomorrow.
Yep.
Probably going to be the last time he plays a game at home. So I hope Vanderbilt fans soak that in tomorrow, and we'll see if they can ride off into the sunset with a win.
I really can't think of many more, impactful 2-year college athlete careers. And of course, it's never about one person in any sport, certainly not in football, but what he's done to just change the mindset and to bring so much entertainment and fun, it's pretty remarkable. Give the guy a standing O.
Had a couple around here recently, him. And this one, is a different circumstance. Hendon Hooker with Tennessee, just kind of crazy. 2 years for him there, 2 years at Vanderbilt for Diego Pavia, and the numbers that they're putting up. Pretty wild.
And hopefully Pavia does not get screwed like Hooker when it comes to being in New York, because Hooker should have been there and Pavia should be there too.
That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is next. This is 102.5 The Game.